Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple.
Do you agree with the Senate Finance's version of the Big Beautiful Bill, or do you support the initial legislation passed by the House?
Well, Liz, thank you. It's so great to be with you. And I heard you say the July 4th timeline. I mean, what greater way to celebrate our nation's independence than to get the one big beautiful bill passed and give the American people a great tax cut and get our economy thriving? You know, what you're seeing now is the House and the Senate negotiating real time. And I'm glad that we get to see this. When you talk about the American people, you talk about welfare reform and getting able-bodied people back to work. You know, this is an exciting time. I know we're doing the same thing here at HUD to see what tools we have to help the American people to get back to work, to raise their families, and to thrive once again in our country.
So they're saying that July 4th deadline, that's still what's being discussed here in the Big Beautiful Bill. I wonder if that's possible. Ryan Schmelz, the man on the scene who can give us the latest update here. Fox News Radio, Capitol Hill, and White House correspondent. Ryan, welcome back. Of course, a very busy weekend around the world and in Washington, D.C., but I'd like to talk to you real quick before we get to some of those details about the Big Beautiful Bill. How's it looking?
Well, it's going to be an interesting week, to say the least. You know, people are not on the same page. There were some changes that were made to the Senate bill that has those like Josh Hawley and a couple others kind of on the fence here. So I think it's really going to depend on what they're able to get in and what through the Senate parliamentarian. There are actually a couple things that were just rejected not too long ago. I have to go through the list again and see what made it, what didn't. And then, you know, I think the strategy right now is to pass the bill sometime this week. Whether or not they have the votes, that's kind of a mystery. And of course, if they were to get this thing back to the House is probably going to reject it the way it is right now, especially when you talk about the salt cap going from 40,000 down to 10,000. Congressman Daryl Issa from California straight up called that a slap in the face. So if he's saying that, you can only assume that there's more from other states that are going to say the same thing.
Ryan Schmelz speaking with us right now from Capitol Hill. There are, over the weekend, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, among maybe a couple others, calling for impeachment of Donald Trump over the strikes in Iran. Thomas Massie was shaking his fist, saying that the strikes were unconstitutional. Of course, you've got this big conversation taking place about the Big Beautiful Bill in the Senate. Does the timeline of getting the bill done, does that get affected at all by this prioritization of like denuclearizing Iran? Does that come in and move the timeline at all?
I don't think so, because, you know, obviously Senate floor time does get eaten up by certain things, but it doesn't seem like it's changing the legislative approach to anything. You know, yes, there'll be members who have to get classified briefings. Yes, there might be a push to have a vote on the war powers resolution that some members are proposing. But in the end, that July 4th deadline still stands. They haven't made any changes to it. So, and of course, it's always different committees of jurisdiction. So if you're on the Committee for Foreign Affairs, you know, you're going to probably be paying a lot of attention to what's going on in Iran. But if you're on a committee like the Finance Committee, which is the committee that oversees Medicaid spending and tax policy, you know, their priority is still very much this bill and getting it to a place that can pass at some point.
So I don't know if this is actually accurate. So I'd like to see if you have the accurate facts on this. When it came to the briefing of maybe the senators about the strike, was the whole Senate informed about what was going to happen with these strikes? Was it a smaller group, or that there was an attack, or, you know, about the game plan? Last week, I saw a report that the Senate was going to be talked to. It seems like the details of the strike were so well kept a secret. What was the Senate convened and how many of them?
So they're supposed to get a briefing this week on Iran. Now, I don't think they were expecting there to be a strike over the weekend when they get that full briefing, but you know, now that's probably going to be a big part of that. If there was a Senate-wide brief about the strike beforehand, it was probably just the Intelligence Committee, which obviously they're not going to say anything about what they learned or anything like that. Our understanding is that Leader Thune and Speaker Johnson were briefed on the strikes. Then you had a CNN report come out and say that Schumer and Jeffries, the top Democrats in both the House and Senate, were left in the dark. Now, Caroline Leavitt has pushed back on this quite extensively, even pointing out that there were some retractions that were made by CNN and Leader Schumer based off of some of the statements he made. They said that they reached out to Jeffries. He was not available, or he did not, they just couldn't reach him. And they also reached out to Schumer to inform him that the strikes were happening. So if there were any people informed, it was likely top.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snaps, it is the refreshing!
Members, we haven't confirmed that Thune and Johnson definitely were, but anybody else, not quite sure. Possibly you could have the Intelligence Committee chairman on both the House and the Senate side, maybe Armed Services, Foreign Affairs, possible. But from what the extent we know, what we have confirmed just now that it's those two top members of leadership, plus there were some, dialogues that were reached out to for other members, the top Democrats. But outside of that, not hard confirmation.
Brian Schmell speaking with us right now. AOC is like, impeachment now. Frank on our YouTube chat's like, I can't take impeachment seriously anymore. Like, that seems like a ship that has sailed. When the House has a minority of Democrats, the Senate, of course, a minority of Democrats as well, when they throw impeachment out there, does that end up getting any legs? Does it end up taking up any House time because a particular representative wants to try to make this part of the discussion?
I mean, you had a brief period of time where you had a representative from Michigan who proposed articles of impeachment. All indications were that when he brought this up, he got a lot of pushback within his own conference about this. Mm. And they decided they were, as a party, were going to table the motion. So that died pretty quick. I mean, that was barely even considered for a hot minute. And so I think that, yes, a lot of Democrats say that the possibility of even proposing impeachment is, so unlikely just because of the makeup of Congress. And so, yeah, I mean, every time it gets thrown out there, it gets shot down pretty quickly. I mean, Al Green has talked about impeaching President Trump, and not really everyone else is jumping on board, at least. I mean, there might be a couple here and there, but I think most Democrats know that it's just not going to go anywhere, so that a lot of them don't feel like it's a valuable use of their time.
All right. Well, Ryan, we appreciate your time. Last question for you. That July 4th deadline, I mean, it's amazing just from like a life standpoint that July 4th is coming as quickly as it is. Can the Senate pull the rabbit out of the hat here? Are there leaders in the Republican side that can kind of stand in the middle and bring enough votes together to get something done that the House will pass?
Getting it across the finish line for the Senate's very realistic for this week. I think the challenge is getting to a place where the bill can pass both the House and the Senate. That's going to be a whole different story. So I think you're looking at the possibility of a negotiation session going on between some representatives from the House, some representatives from the Senate. Who those are going to be, we don't know yet, but that's probably where you're going to see the next step here. But how long that's going to take, we don't know. So I think this is just still a ways away from being at a place where both chambers are on the same page and get it across the finish line. So 4th of July passing out of the Senate possible, but the next step after that, we'll see if they need more time or if they can pull this off quickly.
Well, we'll have you back on intermittently to give us the latest. Ryan Schmelz, thank you for what you do. Thanks for being here with us today.
Thank you, Annie. Have a good one.
Yep, you as well. Take care. Bye-bye. Ryan Schmelz is the Fox News Radio Capitol Hill and White House correspondent. Make sure that you go connect with him on X. Highly recommend. Ryan Schmelz, Fox. Brad's back from D.C., and you hung out with Ryan while you were at the Capitol.
Yeah, it was a blast.
Was he, like, totally cool?
He's one of the boys, if that makes sense.
Would Ryan get along with him, our Ryan?
Yeah, I think he would have fun with him.
Wait.
What does
Wiggins
that mean?
Would...
No.
Man, this is a moment where you need to be watching the YouTube because the concern on Ryan's face.
Yeah. the other way around.
Interpret.
Yeah, I got a really great tour of the Senate office buildings and got to ride the little Senate subway thing that they have that goes from the house.
Is it little, like, little clown cars that you...
Like
the Shriner's car?
Yeah, like if you did that with a subway car, yeah, pretty much.
You know, the humbling nature that would have on those individuals would maybe be worth it, especially watching Eric Schmidt get in one.
Yeah, get in your tiny car and get, like, in the basement.
Eric Schmidt, he's 6'7", need two cars. I don't know if he's 6'7". How tall is he?
He's close.
He's like, I bet he's 6'5".
Yeah, I will find out.
I know that in that psycho picture of me with him in the Post-Dispatch that he's like bending over significantly. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, hello up there.
But so are you.
Congratulations.
You're kind of bent over too. So
I'm
it makes him seem even taller.
I don't know. It's terrible. Do not Google it.
Yes, do.
No, don't.
Oh, it's great.
YouTube live chat poll. Do you support President Trump's Iran strike? Yes or no? We've got 107 votes in so far. I think that this is going to be telling. Real quick before we go to a break, Ryan, what percentage of our audience do you think might say no to this question?
30-35%.
And if it is more than that or less than that, like, how would you feel? Like, that's kind of your, we feel like we've got a feeling about who we're talking to. But one of my favorite things about the polls that we do is that it course corrects as we go on. Like, oh, okay. At least the people who offer the feedback, which is why we need you to jump in there and be counted, it helps guide us. So if it's 45%, would you be stunned?
Yeah, I would be surprised.
If it's 25%, would you be stunned?
Not stunned. If it gets below 20%, then it feels to me like, oh, Trump really has overwhelming support.
What about you, Brad?
What do we think will support?
What percentage do you expect to say no, that they do not support President Trump's Iran strike?
I'm going to say 25. I think that what you're seeing online isn't real life, and I think that with the average person, I think it's closer to a 75-25 split.
All right. Well, we'll go and see at the end of the show how that shakes out. I know what the results are, so I'm not going to guess. Producer John Maupin on YouTube says Eric Schmidt is 6'6". So I was close.
Okay, you guys were right around
6'7". 6'6" with inflation. All right, let's take a quick break. Marnie Fry Show right around the corner. Don't forget Jim Talent with us at 1:30. And the markets, I haven't looked at them in the last 10 minutes, but this morning, they did not look too bad. Steve Moore with us at 1 o'clock. We'll be right back. Don't go away. Things I couldn't do
more. Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's absolutely refreshing!